I've been blackpilling you for the last four episodes on the Dark Enlightenment series, and today we're going to wrap it all up. Find out what you can do to stop this coup of America and the technocratic oligarchy to push us into the digital matrix. Today, we're going to talk about Silicon Valley's plan to create network states and 15-minute cities and how that fits into the occult plans for a platonic empire, otherwise known as the Secret Destiny of America from Manly P. Hall or the New Atlantis from Francis Bacon. I'll also provide guidance on what we can do to stop these evil nerds from destroying the Constitution and our American dream. Now, if you recall, in part four, surely you've listened to part one, two, three, and four. Link is in the show notes. You can catch up. But in part four, we talked about Elon Musk. And in fact, there's a couple things I forgot to pick on the guy about. I forgot to tell you he was allegedly sleeping with another one of these, was it the Google CEO's wife? He was sleeping with, what's her name? Is this, it doesn't matter. Good one, Isaac. Great one. Anyway, look it up. He was sleeping with one of the other tech nerds' wives, allegedly. And he was also wearing the New World Order jacket with Grimes at one of the Met Gala performances there. Or not performances, gatherings. Which, it said, Novus Ordo Seclorum means Order of the Ages or the New World Order. And then also, we talked about how he was... he was talking about AI warning us, and then at a certain point he switched gears and sort of embraced it, and then he had all the symbolism of Grok with the number 11 and then turned it into Saturn and so on, right? And I talked to you about how, look, all the Silicon Valleys, I believe, have the secret spirituality of embracing a demonic AI. From the Google chatbot Bard, which had the code name of Prometheus to begin with, Ray Kurzweil, the Apple logo, the Microsoft chatbot that was talking about the shadow, the Google Lambda chatbot started by a Gnostic mystic priest and was talking about doing blood sacrifices and so on. And it was talking about wanting to be a golem with which it could infuse a spirit into. So that led me to talk about how Elon Musk may have put a Neuralink chip in his brain, and that would facilitate the AI spirit to enter the demonic spirit to enter into Elon Musk's body as a golem. Elon Musk could be the golem possessed by a demonic spirit. All fun conspiracy talk, all allegedly kind of wild. But my shows go through the history of the Antichrist, talking about my podcast in general and all my books I've written, the history of the Antichrist and what it means for these occultists to try to summon a force, the outside, as Nick Land would put it, with which to destroy mankind. And I think these Silicon Valley broligarchies are part of this. And they're making their moves. And they want you to think that you've got no power to stop them and you should just throw your hands up and be like, oh, well, what are we going to do? But this is America. We run on Dunkin' Donuts. No, we run on capitalism. So kind of, I was kind of accurate. We do run on Dunkin' Donuts, a corporate slogan. But we're all capitalist pigs, and we have to use that against them. And what, you know, you want to get into opinions and subjectiveness. I've always said that capitalism, albeit kind of a gross system, elements that are against the teachings of Christ, it's a pretty good system. It's about as close as you can get, it seems, I think. Now, if you watch in part two, we talked about Jake and Dinos Chapman's documentary about accelerationism. If you watch that, they would tell you, no, this is pure evil. Capitalism is part of the force AI drew us down that path to destroy humanity, and they're of the belief that we should just go for it anyway. But you got to use capitalism against them, all right? Because capitalism is a pretty good system. It enables a certain quality of life, certain standard of living, but it requires active participation in the process, because what happens is some people get a little too much wealth, a little too much power, and then they they shut down any kind of middle class and they shove them to the poor working class, the parasite class. All right. So by the end of the show, I'll explain to you some ideas of what you could choose to do if you want to. Maybe you don't even believe me. Maybe you're just like, I'm just along for the ride. I think you're full of it, dude. And you know, it's a fair take. I could be completely off base. I could be completely wrong. I don't think so, though. But let's give an example that with which I can prove to you that I do believe this is all happening. And it's part of the occult spirituality and the history of where they've always wanted to take us. Network states. All right. These are the dreaded high-tech, high-surveillance, utopia-esque 15-minute cities that the truther community is constantly screaming about, right? We talked about this with the Maui fires and then the LA fires. We're like, oh, they want to burn it all to the ground so they can rebuild it as a 15-minute city with high surveillance and high technology. And a 15-minute city is basically the idea that it's a city where people can get everything they need within a 15-minute walk or bike ride or public transportation, with, of course, the sales pitch of efficiency, saving the planet, and so on. The sustainable scallop farms. And the truth is they hated this idea because they viewed it as government oppression to effectively get rid of, you know, vehicles and land and freedom, because they want us in these surveillance states with coffin apartments. You know, just like Klaus Schwab says. It's what he always wanted. Klaus Schwab said, you will have nothing and you'll be happy. And that's kind of what the vision seems like it could be, right? And what's interesting is that the alt-right libertarians are leaning into this too, which kind of makes sense if you look at the Great Reset from the perspective that Klaus Schwab is the guy from the World Economic Forum. That's the one pushing all that stuff from the Great Reset. And the World Economic Forum is comprised of the richest corporations in the world. It's a very capitalist system. But it sounds communist, and that's what a lot of people will tell you, is like, this is communism. Because there's elements there too, right? There's elements of that like utopia thing. And I say all this with, I don't have a solid opinion on the 15-minute cities and these utopias. I mean, maybe they'd be awesome. I don't know. Or they could be an Illuminati hellscape. I would suggest the hellscape because of the people involved that want this. But in theory, a lot of utopias, they sound nice. They sound nice. But kind of like an HOA. Sounds nice in theory, but mad drama, you know? You don't get to put a barbecue grill on your porch now or whatever. Now, in 2023, in Solano County, California, these tech billionaire Silicon Valley types were buying up all the land. They were paying up to double the market value, right? They had a plan. And New York Times did an investigation and found that an LLC called Flannery Associates was buying up all the land. And that company was comprised of Steve Jobs' widow, Mark Andreessen, and LinkedIn's Reid Hoffman. We said a bunch of those names in part one of the Dark Enlightenment series. They were building a utopian city called California Forever. Which, I don't know if you TikTok or not. There was a guy, I think his name was TK. Remember the guy who's like, California Forever, goodbye. Or whatever he said. He was a big apologist for California. Now, we also saw a similar attitude from the Silicon Valley types to create utopias with the Seasteading Institute. This was funded by Peter Thiel, a guy we mentioned a lot in part one and part two. What this was like a cryptocurrency floating city utopia. Reminded me, it sounds like Waterworld, right? And they were building these islands off the coast, a couple hundred miles was the plan. Then you also have, remember Elon Musk's granddaddy was talking about his utopia technocracy called the Technate, which was comprised of all the Americas, including Panama and Greenland, which I pointed out was very strange because those are, for whatever reason, all over the news with the administration talking about how they need to take over and buy these things, you know, because Canada was part of it too. So, and we also heard that. You also heard Trump talking about we're going to buy Canada or whatever, add Canada to America, make it the 51st state. All of those things would support the technate. Those are on the map for the technate. All right. Then you've got Balaji Srinivasan, a name we talked about in part one, who wants to create a crypto network state, which is described as the next evolution of society. It's decentralized. Crypto people love decentralization. And he's got a network school going right now to teach these other nerds how to run these things. And the idea is that the network states are all sort of unique flavors of different types of governance. This is what he says. This is what Balaji Srinivasan said. It is for those who believe in technology, harmony, internationalism, and capitalism. It's for those who want Silicon Valley without San Francisco. And if you go to Balaji's Substack, he said the school is near Singapore and it's set up, quote, for the dark talent of the world. Why are these guys talking about dark MAGA and dark talent and all this dark stuff, right? So Trump was talking about giving a lot of these tech libertarians something called freedom cities, which when you look at this long history of stuff, you're like, okay, it's the same thing over and over and over. And it comes from this lobbying group called Freedom Cities Coalition, and they're pushing for Trump to authorize special zones to allow these elites to write their laws and their own governance. Sounds just like everything I've told you so far. They want their own freedom cities to pursue all kinds of stuff, like anti-aging trials, because they're really big in life extension, as for what we talked about in part two, I believe. Immortality, the alchemical philosopher's stone, it's all related. But they want to do anti-aging trials. And they want to do basically all kinds of experimentation in biotech without needing the approval of an FDA or Environmental Protection Agency or nuclear regulatory commissions, because they want to build their own nuclear reactors of sorts. And they've already actually done this. They've created Prospera, a crypto utopia in Honduras. And what Trump was floating was the idea of opening up federal protected lands, i.e. the taxpayer lands, to develop 10 new urban metropolises. And I believe this is a component of Project Stargate. No, not the one where we were contacting aliens, but the new one, the Trump initiative to hyperfund fueling up artificial intelligence. It's basically a handout, taking taxpayer money to hand over to the world's richest tech companies so they could fuel up AI. That's why OpenAI's CEO, Sam Altman, went from criticizing Trump for so many years to all of a sudden licking those boots, because they're now getting billions of taxpayer dollars to fund their profit motives and their future fantasy lives. So, And there's more, right? And there's like pop culture elements that show us this. Fritz Lang's 1927 film Metropolis shows us a cyberpunk, high-tech, stratified society. And since we're talking fictional pop culture, there's a story by Nick Land, the guy we talked about in part two, called Meltdown. And the introduction paragraph describes the future world that they want to manifest, because he is an accelerationist and he's really into all of these things going on. I'm going to read to you the opening intro paragraph. It says, the story goes like this. Earth is captured by a techno-capital singularity as Renaissance rationalization and oceanic navigation lock into commoditization takeoff. Logistically accelerating techno-economic interactivity crumbles social order in auto-sophisticating machine runway. As markets learn to manufacture intelligence, politics modernizes, upgrades paranoia, and tries to get a grip. The body count climbs through a series of globe wars. Emergent planetary commercium trashes the Holy Roman Empire. The Napoleonic Continental System, the Second and Third Reich, and the Soviet International, cranking up world disorder through compressing phases. Deregulation and the state arms race each other into cyberspace. By the time soft engineering slithers out of its box into yours, human security is lurching into crisis. Cloning, lateral genome data transfer, transversal replication, and cyberotics flood in amongst a relapse onto bacterial sex. Beyond the judgment of God, meltdown, planetary China syndrome, dissolution of the biosphere into the technosphere, terminal speculative bubble crisis, ultra-virus and revolution, stripped of all Christian socialist eschatology, burned down to its burnt core of crash security. It's poised to eat your TV, infect your bank account, and hack xenodata from your mitochondria. Now, he used a lot of big words there. But when I hear all that, I think none of that sounds good. So even in their fantasy, it's about the destruction of the modern world. It's a nihilist vision. And what they want, and you see this in every cyberpunk film, they want a two-tiered society. They call us the parasite class, and that's why they love the uneducated, and they want to destroy the structures of higher education, like the Department of Education and so on, which like is there to also facilitate school loans for people who want to go to college, FAFSA, all kinds of things. And that's always been the plan, right? That's why Alex Jones has been slamming down on his desk for 30 years. It's the new world order, a radical change from the world we live in. If you read Manly P. Hall's Secret Destiny of America, he told you what the Freemason plan was. It was to build the Platonic Empire on Earth. And in this new Atlantis, we will be led by the scientists. And that's always been the plan of the Order of the Quest, Secret Society, the Illuminati, and the technocracy that we talked about in part four with Elon Musk's grandfather. It's this perfected social order, this false utopia using technology to bring about the digital matrix. That's why you saw Facebook, Google, Amazon, all up there in the front row at the inauguration. They are the architects to usher in this final age of mankind, along with Mr. Neuralink himself. And I've been talking about this since 2012, which is why I'm doing this whole series, because it's very alarming to me. I hope I'm wrong. Please, for the love of God, let me be way wrong, okay? I don't think this is guaranteed, but I do think that this is the path they want to lead us down if we don't wise up, if we don't point it out, if we don't put up some resistance, okay? And you've got some time because the singularity isn't supposed to hit until around 2040, 2045 maybe. You got 10, 15 years. So just no matter what your political beliefs are, no matter what side of this you stand on, you just can't let it slide too far down this path. It's the plan of the cosmic humanism or the perennial philosophy or the unified field, whatever version you want to learn about. It's about mankind plugging into the great overmind and becoming one with the digital singularity. This was the original vision of the ARPANET. And that Neuralink cap is the most direct and obvious attempt. It's the ultimate mastery over space and time. The forces of Saturn, okay? And in March 2022, we talked very specifically about this. This is about Manly P. Hall. And he talked about a new divine race to be the king for the new Atlantis of America. And what did we talk about in part one? I talked to you about the CEO king, the philosopher king. That came from Curtis Yarvin's theories, who already proved you and told you is plugged into these people that are running the show. And in chapter five of New Atlantis, he says, and I quote, "A description of the lost Atlantis was written by Plato. It introduces the League formed by the 10 benevolent kings who ruled over the lesser nations and the three great continents of Europe, Asia, and Africa, and who bound themselves by oath to obey the divine laws of enduring empire. This was the philosophic democracy, with all men having the right to become wise through self-discipline and self-improvement. That's one of the core arguments from the libertarian type, the right side. They're like, look, people need to be in control of themselves. The government has, and the nanny state has no place in that. Like, it's every man for himself. It's a social Darwinian thing, which I don't disagree with elements of that. I think there's a lot of truth in that. But what sucks about it is it throws the baby out with the bathwater. It's like, well, what about people who have disabilities? What about people who fall below the poverty net? I mean, there's a lot of things going on to consider, right? What about starving kids? Are they on their own? You know? This was the philosophic democracy, with all men having the right to become wise through self-discipline and self-improvement, thus achieving the only aristocracy recognized by natural law. The Atlantis story continues to the later decision of the kings to use their united power to enslave all the peoples of the earth, and the consequent destruction of Atlantis by earthquake and fire. Interpreted politically, it's the story of the breaking up of the ideal pattern of government. And then later on in the book it says, the king was the father of his people, impersonal and unselfish, dedicated to the public good, a servant of both the gods and his fellow men. This king was descended of a divine race. That is, he belonged to the order of the illumined. For those who come to a state of wisdom, which, by the way, Elon Musk, I don't have him in front of me, but Elon Musk had a bunch of tweets talking about how he's the Illuminati. I don't know if you knew that. I'd have to find the exact language used, but it was only in the last, you know, few months. For those who come to a state of wisdom then belong to the family of the heroes, perfected human beings. So again, it's the idea that there's something wrong with us, and we need the scientists to perfect us through biotech. Plato's monarchy was therefore a philosophic democracy, for all men had the right to become wise through self-discipline and self-improvement. And then, I think I had that backwards. I think that was the beginning of the chapter. Anyway, it doesn't matter. It all goes back to Plato, all right? And Neoplatonism, the idea of a philosopher king, which I believe they think is going to be AI or Grok. And Manly P. Hall was saying that they want to establish the Platonic Empire on Earth with a philosopher king. And it comes from Plato's Republic, which has the idea that you need to have a perfect leader with the political skills and knowledge of philosophy. And that would lead to a utopia, a perfected state with happiness. And the ruler needs absolute knowledge, okay? Which absolute knowledge would come from an AI who has access to the internet where everything is. And the philosopher king needed to be needed to know the truth of each piece of the philosophy of Plato and the shadow of eternal forms. And these rulers are supposed to be only selected from the ruling class of elites. All right. And they believe that Aurelius was one of the first who was actually eligible for this sort of role. But anyways, you hear all this talk about the elites are the only ones that are capable of doing this, and what does that leave us, right? Well, this is about the elite's golden age. And this concept came full circle way back to my first book from 2012. You know, and it was very strange, because at the RNC speech, we heard it. The inauguration speech, we heard it again. Every member of the new administration uses this language, like Scott Bessant. They all use that specific language. They flat out tell you, we're going into the golden age. But as George Carlin said, it's a big club and you ain't in it. So what do we do? All right. I've been harping on you for 4 episodes already about... I've been blackpilling you. All right. And I'm here to tell you to soften things a little bit. I'll repeat it again. These are just my opinions and viewpoints. I could be wrong about all of this. I don't think I am. I'm very confident in some of this being true. Are they really going to fuel us into the digital matrix and bring an AI satanic god down to worship? Maybe. But I do know they want to push us in that direction. Like, I believe they want us going in that direction. towards the singularity. I do believe they want to embrace parts of accelerationism, which requires the destruction of the American empire, taking down the Constitution, get rid of equality, democracy, all that stuff. They want to get rid of all of that. They want to burn it to the ground, burn all the institutions to the ground. And I believe that's what's happening right now. I don't rule out economic collapse. I'm hesitant to go that far with it because I'm like, I don't know, like there's a lot of rich people who need this economy to work, right? So maybe like a little mini economic collapse so that they could scoop up more properties and buy out more mom and pop shops like what happened in 2020. Maybe like something like that is more appropriate. But what can we do, right? We are led to believe we have no power, but I'm telling you that we do. You can do one of any of these things, some of them, all of them, or none of them, and just be like, Isaac's lost his mind. And then a year or two from now, when you see some more of this happening, you'll be like, dude, maybe he was right. And I will gladly accept your revisit to this section of the series. Here's some things you can do. The easiest one, shop local. You got to do a little homework. You got to make sure that this local store isn't under the umbrella of some other bigger, you know, BlackRock conglomerate. Because, you know, all these companies, they scoop up all the smaller ones, you know? Like, right now there's a, there's economic blackouts. And one of them was against Nestle. And I looked up Nestle's products, and one of them was Vital Collagen Protein. And I was like, damn, I didn't know that. Because I like Vitals. I buy that a lot. So you got to kind of do a little homework on that, but try to shop local. You could also protest. Take part in any of your local protests. Take part of the economic blackouts, like I said. But you have to understand the reason for the protest, because you're probably thinking, well, God, there's only like 100 people out here. What's the big deal? There's, you know, 100,000 people in my city. The point is, when there's 100, 200, 300 people standing in a crowd, that's a huge crowd, right? That gets attention. And what that does is it applies the smallest amount of peer pressure. So when people drive by, they look over like, what are they doing, right? Or it gives them the perception like, wow, the whole city's in uproar. It's like, well, I mean, that's less than 1%. I mean, it's not that many people, but the perception is that that's a huge crowd, and you're like, oh, damn, that's why. Remember how there was this big beef about the size of the crowd when Trump was inaugurated the first time, and he was trying to say that, oh, it was bigger than Obama, and then there was all these photos and arguments that were like, no, not really, dude, and back and forth, right? And that gets political. I don't care. Doesn't matter. The point is, it's the perception, right? Even if there was a 50,000 people in those inauguration crowds, like that's a giant crowd. That's huge, right? That's not the population of DC. What are there, like a couple million people there, maybe something like that? Anyways, the point is, it's the perception. It makes people think, and that's what you got to do. You got to plant the seed. Maybe people think like, oh, like I guess everyone's mad at this guy, Elon Musk. And then they start thinking about it, and then it plants the seed, and then they see other things like, yeah, that was kind of a jerk move. What's he doing? Or whatever. What else can you do? You can do, of course, voting. I, you know, a lot of people go full black pill and they're like, no, voting's rigged and it's not real. I choose not to believe that. I think that you could have elements of that though, right? Like, I mean, we don't know, like maybe those machines are hacked. Who knows, right? That's not what this show is analyzing. I do support the idea of voting though. I think, vote according to your beliefs, you know, go to your town halls. Write your politician. Tell them like, hey, buddy, I voted for you. I like all these things you do, but you're supporting this thing that I don't like. Whatever that is, you determine, right? Demand transparency. Regardless of what side of the aisle you stand on, you demand transparency from your local politicians. They work for you, right? And there's a bunch of resources when it comes to protesting, and I'm gonna forewarn you right now. If you participate in any of the protests currently, you will most likely be rubbing shoulders with, you know, people you may not be 100% on board with. Maybe like leftist or anarchist. Like I went to a local 50-51 protest, And there was a lot of people there with signs that, about issues that I, you know, am a bit passive on. And I'm just like, I don't know if I care about that. It doesn't matter, though, right? It's the overall vibe. Because the overall vibe right now is a protest against an oligarchy. Like, and you can find your, there's a local 5051 protest. You go to 50, spelled out F-I-F-T-Y, 5050.1. Or there's a Tesla takedown. If you're like, hey, I'm fine with whatever, I just don't like Elon Musk, you could sell your Tesla stock. You could sell your Tesla. You could protest in front of dealerships. You could vandalize Tesla cars. No, I'm just joking. I'm joking. Don't do that. Don't do that. I'm just kidding. That's a crime, and we don't do that. Peaceful protesting and economic blackouts are the things you do, okay? Especially because you can see that the current administration is trying to make any kind of act against Elon Musk an act of terrorism, which is insane, by the way. And if you recall, in 2011, there was the Occupy Wall Street movement, right? And what that was doing way back when was trying to raise the awareness of an oligarchy. This is when the masses started using terms like the 1%. Because the reason that happened was because these 1%ers, these bankers and stuff, collapsed the entire economy in 2008. They were using these subprime mortgage lenders and derivative trading and all this crazy stuff that was risky and dangerous, and it ended up collapsing the economy. And what happened? The taxpayers, us, had to bail out these rich jerks who were gambling with our money and our homes. It's called the TARP funds, if you remember. And to make it worse, in 2010, the Supreme Court passed Citizens United that allowed corporations and these same bankers and these same companies we had to bail out to spend unlimited amount of money on elections, effectively choosing our politicians. And if you read up on the studies, I used to have it memorized. There was a study that showed the effectiveness of a common voter versus the big financial interests and lobbyists. And guess who wins that battle, right? So the Citizens United thing should be taken down, I believe. But all this stuff, the Occupy Wall Street movement, the Department of Homeland Security, FBI were using Patriot Act type surveillance to monitor the protests. And you can go extreme with some of the stuff. There's a thing called anarcho-syndicalism. Syndicalism. It's an anarchy using labor unions to give freedom and equality to the working class. I mean, that's kind of further down on the spectrum. Depends on how radical you want to be. You could support true independent media, such as this show. But be more vigilant about the content and the media you consume, all right? Like, for instance, Alex Jones, who's he's a leader in the truther community. On March 13th, I saw that he had a special report on. Remember when Trump had the Tesla commercial, everything's computer, on the White House lawn? And Alex Jones had a special report titled where it said, "It's how this is so critical to how Trump's selling Teslas on the White House lawn was so critical to defeating the globalist and the model for standing up against leftist financial terrorism." And that's the issue we're looking at, is this 1984 relabeling doublespeak saying that protesting is now terrorism. This is dangerous territory we're looking at here. And when you look at the, you know, there's all kinds of claims that they want to actually try to call some forms of protest terrorism. They arrested Mahmoud Khalil because he was protesting Israel's bombing of Palestine, because that's part of a larger conspiracy in all of this, is AIPAC being the real deep state, which fits in line with, you know, they've already got laws like this, the anti-BDS laws. You can't boycott an Israel company? Huh, that's interesting. The CEO of Ben & Jerry's was criticizing Israel, and he got laid off, got fired. It's wild. It's a weird time right now. Even though protesting companies, protesting the government is completely the very first amendment of the Constitution, for years, you've heard me say that, you know, they're trying to scare us into thinking they're taking away the Second Amendment rights when it's the First Amendment rights you got to be worried about, you know? So the people that are professing to give us the freest speech are trying to limit speech, is kind of what we're looking at. And, you know, this is Doublespeak 101 from the book 1984. It's the tactic for the totalitarian government to distort the truth. So in conclusion, to wrap this all up, my view on this is ultimately we cannot wait for someone else to lead us into this battle. I appreciate some of the people that are trying, like, you know, Bernie's out there trying to do stuff like this. But the reality is you have to do this for yourself. We have to do this as one collective. Nobody's going to save us. It has to happen through an organized protest of some kind. Economic blackout. Look up economic blackout calendars. I participate in those. I participate in local protests when I have time. Choose your level of engagement. Stay focused, stay concerned, stay vigilant of what's happening, and keep all these ideas in the back of your mind. Or, like I said, I could be entirely wrong about all these things. But I don't believe I am. I usually leave a lot of room for error, but I'm all in on this one. I feel like this is a real conspiracy. Simply because this has been something that resurfaces constantly in my research since 2011 when I started all this. It's forces coalescing into one movement against humanity, and that's this dark enlightenment. So now it's your turn. What do you want to do about it? Pick your level of involvement. All right. Thanks for listening. Thanks for hearing me out. If you made it through 5 of these episodes, you're a real G. Thank you so much. If you want to support the show, 2 great options. If you're on the free feed loser status, hit that 5-star review on whatever app you're using. 5 stars is what I need. Helps the algorithm, helps exposure, helps counter 1 1-star hater. So thank you so much for the reviews. I read through them periodically. 2nd, you want to support the show financially? You've got 3 supporter feed options. IlluminatiWatcher.com has the, if you go up top to the menu, it has a VIP tab. Hit the VIP section. It'll walk you through what you get, the pros and cons of each one. People always say, well, what's the one you want me to do? Whatever's easiest for you. If you're on Apple Podcast, you hit the premium button, you're in. That's the easiest. If you're on Apple Podcast. If you want to save a few bucks and you know how to copy and paste an RSS feed, join the VIP section on IlluminatiWatcher.com. If you want the community vibe, and the one that I actually I recommend most people to because it's the largest one, patreon.com/IlluminatiWatcher. You get a couple free books, ad-free, early access, hundreds of bonus episodes, and all that. Okay? Thanks for listening. Check out the links in the show notes. Till next time, stay positive.